So a sacrament of silence, how difficult was that for you to sit in silence for a few minutes? It's probably only about 8 or 9 minutes. It may have seemed like an eternity to some of you. Silence is a discipline. It's part of climbing the mountain. Notice the as you heard that scripture, or at least that's how I experienced it, was each time I heard the scripture, something else came to mind. Something else touched my heart. One thing that I, in the whole week as I looked over this scripture, had never jumped out to me was when it said, "And they saw only Jesus." It took me 4 times today to hear that pop out. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? This whole journey up the mountain is about seeing one person, and that is Jesus. And then He enlightens everything in our lives. But we like to climb physical mountains, at least at some point in our life. Why is it do we like to climb mountains? Is it the challenge, or is it the view?
Both.
Both. Maybe the silence at the top of a mountain. When you go to a high place, it just gets very quiet, doesn't it? But the view oftentimes is what sort of pulls us up that mountain, because the view is magnificent. We were down there below and we could see the world, but when we climb up the mountain, we see the world in a much clearer fashion. The view is magnificent. But no amount of preaching, no amount of singing hymns, no amount of fellowship within the church, any of the things that we do in the church, none of that will convince us that the view when we walk with Jesus is more clear and more meaningful and more powerful. Nothing will convince us of that until we experience it ourselves. You have to experience the mountaintop with Jesus to realize what we talk about and what we sing about and the fellowship that we share with one another. It all comes down to you climbing the mountain, because Jesus is bidding us to climb the mountain. It says Jesus took with Him His disciples. It wasn't the disciples' idea. Jesus said, "Let's go to the top of the mountain." So they didn't go alone. And that's not the idea either. The idea is not that we climb the mountain alone. We lock arms with someone. We bring a brother or a sister or a mentor brings us along and says, "I've been to the mountain. Come with me." And that's part of our work. If you've been to the mountain, we're to be finding brothers and sisters and say, "Come with me to the mountain. I want to show you what I want to show you the view that I've seen." And so Jesus bids us all that we climb this mountain. It's tough, though, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. Climbing the mountain is tough because on the way up the mountain, we have to lose ourselves. Each step of the way, we leave an old part of ourself behind, preparing ourselves and emptying ourselves so that when we come in the presence of God, we come into the presence of Christ our Lord, Christ can fill us with the new self, the new man, the new woman that Paul talks about. But we got to climb the mountain. The problem is, so many of us are dancing around at the bottom of the mountain, and we're lost in our lives, we're busy, we're frantic, we're hectic, and we're afraid to be quiet. We're afraid to sit in the silence like we did this morning. What we did this morning is so fearful to a lot of people, because all of a sudden, silence does something to bring us into the presence. And all those feelings and all those emotions and all those questions and all those doubts that we were pushing aside with the franticness and the hecticness and the busyness of our lives, they start to come back to us. They start to settle in. We start to recollect ourselves. And then those questions of, what am I doing? What is this all about? I didn't realize I was lonely. I didn't realize there was this emptiness there. I was pushing it away. And so as we climb up the mountain, this silent journey with our brothers and sisters, with Jesus leading us up the mountain, we begin to identify with those parts of us that we need to let go of. Moses and Elijah showed up at the mountain with Jesus, didn't they? It's not an accident that Moses and Elijah are there beside Jesus, because Moses and Elijah both had a mountaintop experience. Moses went up several times, up and down the mountain. And when Moses went up, in one of those instances when he climbed up the mountain, the glory of God was so bright. He had such an experience with God that it made him glow. He became so bright, Moses did, that the Lord said, before you go back down the mountain, put a veil on, because if anybody sees you, you are so bright, you are so filled with the light of God that you will blind those who see you. Now that's carrying Jesus with you. Moses comes down the mountain with that experience. Elijah had a different experience, but it was the same God with whom he had an experience. Your experience and your experience and your experience will be different than mine, but it's the same God. And Elijah has this experience, you remember, where he's running for his life from people who are trying to kill him. And he goes to the mountain, and certain things he encounters, the fire and the wind and the earthquake, but finally you remember it's the still small whisper, the whisper of God. And so Elijah comes back down from the mountain, not with this, not expressing God as brightness and it's shining in his life, but he comes down with this calmness and this stillness and this whisper of God, this assurance that I can face my enemies. Your experience will be what God needs for you as you experience him on the mountaintop and you come back down. But you can't have the mountaintop experience unless you climb the mountain. And so Jesus says, come with me, let's climb the mountain together. Now when Moses came back down on another instance, his experience was he found the people that were behind him had not changed. In fact, they had taken off all their jewelry and their watches and probably their belt buckles made of gold, and they threw them into a fire and they purchased themselves a golden calf. And they were all dancing around it. That was their life, was dancing around the golden calf. They were still worshiping the things of the world because they had not had the mountaintop experience. That's where most of the world is. Frankly, they're dancing around the golden calf. They're throwing in things, hoping they can get something out of it, hoping that if they throw in a little more change to the golden calf, that the golden calf will bring them meaning and bring them hope and remove that loneliness and that emptiness and that anxiety and that fear and that doubt that they have in life. But I tell you, Amazon can deliver a lot of packages to your door, but there's one thing they can't deliver, and that is peace. And that is joy, and that is hope. The only way we get that is to leave the golden calf and climb the mountain. And it's a silent journey. We're journeying together, but it's a silent journey. It's a journey of introspection. It's a journey of questioning, letting God get you into a moment where you question everything about you. And then once all of that falls off, up the mountain. You know, sometimes when you're climbing up a mountain, you feel like you do want to shed some things. You know, the backpack gets a little heavier about halfway up the mountain. And by the time you get to the mountain, spiritually, you stand before the Lord much lighter. You stand before the Lord naked. And he says, now I can make you into something new. But we have to be willing to climb the mountain. Otherwise, what we do here is an add-on to dancing with the calf. What we do here is just a weak attempt. It's a weak attempt to have an experience with God. If all we're doing is showing up and going through the motions, and we're not willing at some point to say, Lord, take me. Lord, mold me and make me. Take me up the mountain and make me into something new. Otherwise, we're still the old selves dancing around the golden calf. We just happen to have church member among the things of who we are. Church membership doesn't get you the view. Church membership doesn't offer you the clear alternative. Walking with Christ gives you the clear alternative to the world below. The world below without God is empty. The world below without God is lonely, and it's full of fear and it's full of anxiety. You cannot, you talk with the same people I do in the world. People are so anxious today. They're so nervous. They're so full of fear. They're lonely and they're even despairing. And they're wondering, why are so many people like this? Well, we spent the whole last several decades saying God's a joke, church is a joke, Jesus is a joke. When the people who knew what meaning and hope was in life were the ones who were climbing the mountain. No matter who made fun of them, no matter who questioned them, no matter who said, you're wasting your life pursuing God. But yet, if you've been to the mountain, you've seen the view. And the view is beautiful. The view is excellent. And it's lovely. And you become a new person. And so you might come down the mountain full of light and full of the glory of God within you, and one of those people that you come into a room and a party starts, you know. I've never been one of those people. God didn't give me that gift coming back down the mountain. People come in and say, oh, there's Pastor Ken. Some of you walk in, there's like, hey! Because that was your gift. Some of you will come down with that whisper of God in you saying, it's going to be all right. You're going to win. You're going to have victory. Some of you will come down the mountain with a nurturing gift that God was just waiting to give to you for your family and for your spouse and for wherever you go. Some of you will come down that mountain with the gift of prophecy, of saying what God wants to be said in any particular setting. And the gifts are enumerated in the Bible. You will come down being the you that God wants you to be in the world. But until you are willing to go up the mountain, you'll never see the view. The view of who you can be and what life can be with the new you in that world when you come back down the mountain. Something else that stood out to me in that reading today. I need to do this every week. There was kind of two phases in that mountain experience that those disciples had. The first experience is when they saw the light of God. And what did Peter do? Peter said, let's get busy. Let's build something. Let's create a program, the church might say. let's schedule something. Let's put something on the calendar. Which is all right. But then the voice of God spoke and they fell to the ground, didn't they? And it said they were terrified. God did not create the church, and he did not create you and me to have programs as our final end. The programs are tools to the final end, which is each of us having a mountaintop experience, walking with Christ. And only when they fell to the ground in fear and trembling and said, oh, we are in the presence of something magnificent, mysterious, powerful than anything we've ever experienced in our lives, then Jesus reached down, and what did he do? You read it four times. He touched them. And he said, don't be afraid. This had to happen. This had to happen to shake you up, to clear your mind, to free your heart of all the things that you were imprisoned to before. And then he says, now let's go back down the mountain. Because now you're ready. That power that comes into the individual comes collectively into the church. And when we are a church of people who have climbed the mountain and we see more clearly than we've ever seen what God wants for us, what could God do with that? The magnificent things He could achieve if we were all willing to do that. I want to close this morning with a word from Bill Galvin. He was a poet from Massachusetts, born back in 1911. And he has a poem called Mountain Views. And I'm not going to read all of it, but just a few lines. He says, "I'm up here on this mountain. I'm up here where I should be. When up here on this mountain, there's lots of things to see. Been toiling in the valley far too long a time. And I'm up here on this mountain, I can feel my soul unwind. While up here on this mountain, I'll forego all misery. Up here on this mountaintop, my soul's refreshed for me. Being up on this mountain's not the end of my journey. I see all of the trails below that can my future be. Since climbing to this mountain, there's so much that can be learned. When back down in the valley, I'll find life's directions turned. While up here on this mountain, I'll forego all misery. Up here on this mountaintop, my soul's refreshed for me. But either way, I see the day that's been prepared for me. 'Cause up here on this mountaintop is where I can clearly see. Up here on this mountaintop, I can clearly see." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.